I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back to the Ministry of Hemp podcast, and if you're new here, welcome aboard. Nice to have you. Today on the show, we are going to talk about another way pharmaceutical companies are making CBD more readily available to your body after you ingest it, or even rub it on your skin. I've spoken about bioavailability on this show before, episode 62 specifically. In that episode, I spoke with Dr. Andrew Yates and Professor Sersha Sullivan, who developed a co-crystal that will improve the bioavailability of CBD. In a nutshell, your body doesn't want to absorb this molecule very well, so we have to come up with creative ways to get it to absorb into your system. Now, another way of doing this is nanotechnology, specifically nanoencapsulation. Today on the show, my conversations with Dr. Thomas Skrinskas, founder and CEO of Ascension Sciences, and what they do is work with nanoencapsulation, basically taking these molecules and putting them in a really, really tiny container that helps your body absorb it. This is a Canadian company, so we were also able to talk about what it's like to develop hemp-based medicine in Canada as opposed to the US, and Thomas had some really interesting points that I hadn't thought of. Here is my conversation with Thomas Skrinskas, CEO of Ascension Sciences. Thomas, welcome to the Ministry of Hemp. Glad to have you.
Thanks. I'm stoked. This is great.
I think you're our first Canadian guest.
Outstanding.
Yeah, so we can put a pin in the Ministry of Hemp map now, which is cool.
Yeah, that's somewhat surprising, but happy to speak for all of Canada and to thank you. And we're happy to be here.
Perfect. So let's talk about hemp in Canada real quick. Hemp in Canada and cannabis in Canada, period, very different from hemp and marijuana in the United States. You guys have quite the head start on us. Can you give us like a quick little historical background of where you're at compared to where we are?
Yeah, I can. I mean, my entry into the industry, the space, has actually really only been in the last 2 years.
Okay.
So a deep history buff I am not. but what I've learned in my short time is that I think there's advantages and disadvantages to what we're doing. So one example is the CBD, an explosion of CBD from hemp in the U.S., it's actually a little more flexible or a little easier to work with those materials or
really
to develop products and because it's on the farm bill and it's all above board and it's easy peasy. On the Canadian side, we have that CBD aspect that's from hemp, but there's just a lot more red flags and red tape and attention drawn to make sure and where it's coming from and what it's used for. So for us, for example, like we just assume and we treat our CBD like it's THC. We have to report and track and
oh, wow.
We can't lose a drop of it. And that's just to be certain that we're doing everything right.
Sure.
Because the regulations are changing so fast. So all that to say, like, I missed the whole history part of your question.
No. This is perfect.
But the difference.
This is perfect.
But the differences are there that it's sometimes easier, sometimes harder, but yeah, it's different.
As I understand it, it's one set of rules for the whole country though, basically. It's not like province by province, if you will. Whereas here in the States, we have different states, you know, with completely different cannabis laws. Some you can't even drive cannabis through, or let alone, or even hemp. It's nuts.
Mm.
So Canada's nationwide, correct, yeah, though.
Correct. Yeah. There's some age differences, just like alcohol consumption is different in Quebec and the prairies and in BC. It changes by 1 year or so as you move around, but that goes for cannabis as well.
Sure.
But yeah. Across the country, yeah, we ship samples and all the rest, like bank, no problem, and all All that is easy peasy.
See, that's a huge step up from us right now. So we're having a lot of trouble. It's about smaller companies as well. When you turn and say, well, I can't accept credit cards because we can't figure out if anything is insured, and credit card companies don't want to get in on that yet. It's very difficult. And I think we look to Canada. You said there's a lot of red tape. We're not, like, we'd kill for that red tape. At least there's red tape, and we know we have to cut it, you know, and get through it. Like, we don't even know right now. Like, please give us some red tape, please.
It's for product development and the research that we want to do. We're completely above board and all the rest, but we do compete with people who just neglect the legacy market. It's called the legacy market.
Right. Just
neglects it and keeps going, and they'll become legal, and the government helps them become legal. So that's the part that kind of pisses me off. Like, I'm just doing it right. And some people are going to be doing it right eventually, but yeah, they have this little advantage. They're just kind of chugging along.
You say there's a legacy market. Is that almost just like when the laws were passed, or people that were already doing it this way, and Canada is nice enough to be like, well, you guys catch up when you can. Is that what's going on?
That's exactly what's going on. And there's big consultancies and, you know, people helping them go from the gray market to the legal market. It's the reality. Yeah. They can't just shutter or, you know, burn the crops or all the rest. There's systems in place to help them become legal. I think that's good.
Sure.
It's fine.
But I assume there's a lot of people that are dragging their feet because this costs money.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The licensing process, you have to spend money to, you know, out security and record keeping
of
and
course.
All that. Quality and all that absolutely costs money, and it's gonna, yeah, some people are just won't be able to make it, and maybe they'll take that risk, and some people won't. Time will tell.
Right. Let's talk about your background for a minute. You said you got into this about 2 years ago. Tell me about Ascension Sciences.
Yes. I've always been in the medical field. I did a master's in biomedical engineering. And, you know, it wasn't in particles and drug developments, so to speak. But all that to say, you know, healthcare and hospitals and wellness has always been part of my upbringing and education and career choices. And that brought me to a company called Precision Nanosystems, where I came by sort of nanotechnology and nanoparticles. Meanwhile, they are doing genetic medicine. But I saw the opportunity to mash that up with cannabinoids, which are essentially insoluble compounds, insoluble drugs as we see them,
right,
therapeutic. So they require these types of delivery systems and co-crystals. I listened to your absolutely handy podcast on bioavailability and co-crystals.
That was awesome, right? Those guys were so cool.
Yeah. No, they're legit. No, Artello is doing real stuff. I mean, that's the echelon, and that's where we're placing ourselves. We're in health to therapeutic development. And so, all that to say is, you know, this health technology background mashed it up and saw an opportunity. And that's when Ascension Sciences started.
Why cannabis, though? What drew you to that? I mean, it seems like there's a lot of, I don't know if it's safer in Canada. I know, like, Europe, and it sounds like Canada definitely have better rules in place for people to develop these type of drugs, where in the States, pharmaceuticals are still, they're definitely planning. Don't get me wrong. They've got these patents and they're ready as soon as they feel like it's safe. But what drew you to cannabis?
I mean, somewhat opportunistic, the market and legalization, it just lowered the barrier for the research to be done. If your angle or if you're prodding for, you know, my epiphany around the plant and you know, things of that nature, I think it's a toolkit in any health and wellness situation. You know, you don't take your Tylenol to hurt your toe without realizing that it's your small shoes that's hurting your toe.
Right.
Take your shoes off. So, you know, in mental health and inflammation and anxiety. It's a tool, and I've recognized that it's certainly been part of some situations for me. I'm opportunistic as well.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's a real answer, and like, I appreciate that. It's nice to say I had a magic moment, you know, and like the sun hit me just right, and I looked at the hemp and it spoke to me. You know, that's great.
It's a little more calculated. It's a little more calculated than that. But
there's nothing wrong with that at all. What kind of stuff are you guys working on? You were talking about nanotechnology and nanoparticle development. Those are words that are thrown around a lot, and they're not always thrown around by people that seem to know what it means. I'm not putting you on the spot. You seem to know exactly where you're coming from on this, but I've definitely interviewed people where I've said, okay, well, tell me about this nano encapsulation in, you know, your body balm or whatever. And they're like, oh, it makes it really small, so it just like slips right through. I'm like, well, what does that mean? You know, like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of have the verbatim definition of nanotechnology. I mean, it's just manipulating materials, molecules at a very small scale for some advantage or purpose. So in drug development, a lot of drugs require nanoparticles to be delivered around the body. The best analogy is like a delivery truck. The nanoparticle is the truck. Your drug is inside the truck, and the truck is driving around, getting to the right place at the right time and the right concentration. And you can design this truck, this nanoparticle, to do those things. And that's where things get interesting. You're replacing parts. You're making big trucks, small trucks.
Sure, sure.
All for various benefits in your administration. You know, is it in your, are you swallowing it? Is it under your tongue? Is it on your skin? You can design these to aid or to tune release, depending on what you want and how you want it done.
So speaking to that, we mentioned co-crystals and whatnot. I learned recently in that podcast that your body naturally does not want to absorb these cannabinoids because of the nature of the molecule itself. Can you shrink something down small enough so that it is absorbed better, or do you always need like a co-crystal carrier type thing?
Yeah, that's a good question, or a good point to clarify. So, you know, we're not shrinking CBD.
Shrinking is the wrong word. Yeah. Anyone who says they are is lying, basically.
Yeah, correct. So, okay. But we're packaging it and we're protecting it with other lipids or, you know, things that's a shell around it. And we make it more stable, things of that nature. And co-crystals are I would say a competing technology to nanoparticles.
Okay.
When it comes to bioavailability. So you can, you know, the fancy term is functionalize the CBD, where you attach something to it and it becomes more soluble, more bioavailable. Our approach is to package all the CBD into this matzo ball, and the matzo ball itself is the soluble component.
I'm Jewish, so now you're just making me hungry. Thanks.
Okay, sorry. I can.
No, that's perfect. All day on that. That's perfect.
And then there's pros and cons, and you know, from IP to manufacturing costs to, you know, actual, you know, reasons to do one or the other. For example, in nanoparticles, we like to draw attention to tuned release, so long lasting or fast acting. So for pain, we can have a particle that releases it slowly, you know, whereas a co-crystal might absorb it immediately, have the effect now for acute pain. There's all manner of reasons to do one or the other.
So in nanoparticle technology, we'll call it, you can actually tune it to release fast or slow, or is it a type of thing where like a co-crystal is always going to be a fast release and you have more control when it comes down to nanoparticles?
Yeah, this is a slippery slope where
or does it just not work like that? I mean, I have no idea.
No. Like, so I mean, your tablet, your gel cap has all sorts of other components in it. So the gel cap can dissolve slowly. So that'll impart slow release.
Okay, sure.
On your,
sure.
So you could put co-crystals in your slow release cap or your slow release tablet. So yeah, you can attain different features from both sides. But you know, combining the two as well, like there's no reason we couldn't put co-crystal CBD into a nanoparticle.
Sure.
And, you know, just have it be that much more bioavailable, that much more controlled and tuned release. And that's where you start to look at the indication. So again, you know, Artelo's getting a lot of press here, but you know, for their PTSD applications and mental health situations, you can start to target the brain or wherever you want these things to collect preferentially in your body. That's another reason nanoparticles become interesting.
So theoretically you could say, okay, I want to make a capsule that is good for pain, and that's going to go through the whole body, as opposed to a capsule that's good for anxiety, which might target part of the brain instead.
Correct. Yeah.
That's very cool. So what kind of cannabinoid products are you guys working on right now? What kind of therapeutics? Like, are you looking at guiding things directly towards, like, I want to treat PTSD, or I want to treat, you know, seizure disorders? So,
yeah, very good question. So the short answer is, like, we do contract research. So we actually look for companies to bring their delivery problem, their therapeutic problem to us, and we have kind of a toolkit of nanoparticles, and we can guide them, direct them to some of our toolkit and say, this particle, it sounds like it will work, let's work together and develop it further. And that's our sort of preclinical development business model at the stage of the company. That's just somewhat of the reality of, sure, of being a six-person, you know, R&D licensed outfit, but we want to work with people like Artelo and work with people like Cardiol and InMed and GW Pharma and help them get their therapeutics to be more efficient and help that many more people by being better drugs.
So I own Company X, and theoretically we're working on a drug for Crohn's disease, very painful. And CBD or cannabinoids have been shown to help a lot. I can come to your company and say, how do we build this? What's the best way to build it? What's the best way to deliver it and to target Crohn's disease? And that is what you work on.
Correct. Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah. So, you know, and then Crohn's is a good example too, because it has to get through the stomach, has to get through that environment.
Yeah.
You want it to get as deep into the gut, into the large intestine. And there's these like multi-matrix systems, that coat your gut lining. And so that's a very interesting application, or you're going the suppository route. So that's all well and good.
It's a quick way to get there, I suppose.
Yeah. The cut the corners but nanos in those applications is absolutely relevant.
So give me just like a rough idea. Like, let's stick with Crohn's disease, and we want to develop a pill. I mean, how does this start? You have to decide, like you said, it's got to go through the mouth, it's got to go through the stomach, and you want it to end in the large intestine before it releases any of these particles. Are you designing every part of this drug with that in mind? Like, we're going to need this thick of a capsule, we're going to need this type of nano encapsulation and whatnot?
Yeah, it's a big undertaking. Yeah, this isn't something like we even have all the expertise under one roof. That's why we're like very much preclinical. And you could take our formulation and put it on cells. You could put it into a small animal model. And that's, you know, where we would start to step up and, you know, scope the project appropriately.
Sure.
But yeah, you're not wrong where, you know, we can guide you on a capsule technology, but what's going in the capsule is our stuff.
Right.
Or if it's in a dry tablet form, you know, the excipient systems, like the other components of the tablet, you know, we'll give you a short list, but ours is the active ingredient. And then, yeah, start to develop it further, but you certainly have to start with the active and right. how it's packaged. Developing a drug and dosage form is many small steps. So we're part of that value chain, if you will.
Let's talk about your active ingredient. You said our stuff is in it. This is not the same hemp that you go to, you know, the CBD place and like they know the farmer and it was harvested down the street and we decored it and it's beautiful, you know, whatever. And then we put and drip it under here and it's great. Yeah. You know, like this is not the same stuff. What are you guys dealing with? Where does your CBD come from?
So it's isolate or synthesized CBD, and we're trying to assess the differences. They have different, actually, you know, even those two broad categories have different implications on the particles. And
right.
And then it also comes down to, you know, what segments you're servicing and like health product or drug development. And do people care about naturally sourced or the synthesized versions, you know, chemically equivalent, but you know, the jury's still out on exactly what's happening there. And the short answer is where we're at that studying phase of all that. And then, yeah, we'll happily characterize any nanoparticles from it with any source of active.
Just whatever works best for whatever is needed, more or less.
Correct. Yeah. All our R&D right now is on with isolate.
Why that's isolate? Kind of, can I ask? Does isolate, is it because it's easier to like point it like a bullet towards the target that you want, or?
Actually it's more stable and like a little bit will last longer in our fridge, like just a practical reason.
Fair enough.
It's like, because it's the kind of purest or I guess rawest form of CBD, we can add things. It's always easier to add things. So it's not in a carrier oil. So we can choose the carrier oil if we want it to be kind of, you know, refined or added with terpenes, you know, to kind of bring it back to a distillate or a full spectrum format for research purposes.
Right.
That we can do. So it allows us flexibility and, that's somewhat of the shorter answer there.
So isolate because it's easier to control. You know exactly what is there and you can always add,
correct.
But you can't, like when you're cooking, you can always put salt in, but it's very hard to take it out, basically.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. And you guys work with both the health and the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, that's where we see it. We entertain calls for beverages we don't make chocolate bars and gummy formulations. Dosages is continue to be an issue and applications still exist. Yeah. But it's, you know, startup 101 is just focus, you know, find something you're good at. So I find those two segments, like health and wellness and then pharma, still leaves us a little open to being too broad. The technology is a little more relevant. Concentrations are higher. Like it's not just 5 or 10 milligrams. So when you get to higher concentrations, nano becomes even more important.
Right. Absolutely. So let me ask you, you said you entertain the idea of beverages. Have you guys worked with any beverage companies? Are you working with any? Yeah, and you don't have to name anybody. Obviously, it's proprietary stuff. But
short answer is we have. But it's somewhat opportunistic.
Right.
But they haven't been big projects.
It's okay. This is edited. Don't worry about it. I'm going to edit this. So don't sweat it.
Hey, Lion, go away.
I love you. Go away. Do you see a future? I mean, like, as soon as, in the States anyway, as soon as this bears out and the Food and Drug Administration says, here's how we want it done in food and here's how we want it done in, you know, medicine, there's going to be a massive market. Huge. And you know that Coke, Pepsi, these major companies are just sitting on this and waiting. But from my understanding, it's actually very difficult to maybe not infuse CBD into a drink, but infuse it well and make it so that it works. Like there was this fad of CBD water going around for a while where it's like, yeah, it's CBD infused water. And if you speak to anybody who works in this industry or does any testing, they will tell you, well, if it's clear, there's nothing in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you see this is it going to be a bigger challenge to do in the beverage market than it would be like in a pill, for example?
Well, it'll absolutely be a challenge. But when you're talking about like Coke and Pepsi and like these types of companies, like where budget is not a R&D budget and product development budget is not, you know, is not a problem. And they have teams, buildings full of scientists.
Right.
Like it's not going to be a problem.
Fair enough.
So yeah, it's. Like, I think, yeah, like you say, what they are waiting for is just a bit of a more open environment so they can flip the switch.
Yeah.
And then they'll be game on. And some are doing it either through like subsidiaries or you know, partnerships. So, you know, it doesn't say Coke on the front of the building, but,
of course,
you know, they're developing. And it, you know, these emulsifying technologies, which is the predominant one for the predominant nano approach for beverages, like it exists. It has existed for a while, like in food and beverage science, culinary science. You know, cannabis did not invent culinary science.
No,
so
no. Mayonnaise invented culinary science, I think.
Yeah.
So you said you worked on a beverage. Is it just emulsifying CBD into the beverage? Is that basically it? Because it can't be the same as, you know, putting it in a tincture or in a pill where you can surround it with some type of fat or a co-crystal or something. They're not going to put co-crystals in your Gatorade. I mean, that's ridiculous. Is it just a matter of emulsifying it so it's small enough that it's in there?
It's the emulsifying stabilizes it. So it just prevents all the little oil droplets from coming together and being one big oil droplet so that you see an oil droplet in it. Like
it's like a boba tea dressing type thing where you're like, there's the weird CBD fish egg that I just drank.
But you know, Gatorade is a good example. Like Gatorade is an emulsion itself, even though it's clear and orange or whatever color it is. If it does sit on the shelf for months, you'll see, you know, powder and stuff settle out of it. So, even that's not a perfect emulsion. It's out there, doing good things. So, the CBD part isn't into beverages is challenging. Yeah. I don't want to disregard all the good science that people are doing to solve it because there's still unknowns, but we're not talking like Nobel Prize of Chemistry.
Right.
Like, problem like, here.
You did it. You whipped CBD into whipped cream. You know. Congratulations.
<Yeah. laughs> Congratulations.
You're a household name. Yeah.
COVID vaccine.
That was last year. Yeah. This year, we're all feeling mellow, you know?
Exactly.
So, Thomas, what's next for Ascension Sciences? Where do you go from here?
You know, I think what we are trying to do is really demonstrate just how versatile some of these drugs and nanoparticle combinations are. So that's where we have our toolkit. And, you know, we didn't touch on liposomes. We didn't touch on polymer nanoparticles, solid lipid nanoparticles. You know, they all have different features and functions. And, you know, each one is can have a deep dive. And then that's those are the types of groups we like to work with that are health and R&D focused and want to take their therapeutics, you know, to the next level. But it's exciting times for little companies, and Canada and I think is doing it right. And I think you're not a lay person, you know, I think you've talked to enough people and
I'm a lay person. Trust me.
but if it's resonated with you, I feel our message is hitting the right chord. So as long as that message is received, we love to hear from people and what problems they might have so that we can help them solve them with our expertise and our abilities. That's what we're here to do. I think that's the kind of the note I would end on.
But I just one final thing. I want to let people know that, like, I get very excited when I speak to doctors and scientists that are willing to talk about this, because there is a future here. There is a there. Mm-hmm. It is a thing. It's coming. It works. There are tests that show this. And there's so many people that want to write off CBD as a fad. Stuff that it's a bunch of people feeding you olive oil, telling you that you feel good. But this is real. This is really happening. Yeah. Real pharmaceutical companies and doctors and researchers and R&D people like yourself are doing this for a reason. Tell me it's because it's real and this is the future, because it makes me feel better.
It's absolutely real. Like the what gives me confidence, or what I you know come back to, is that I don't think this is a blockbuster drug, but it has the ability in a very, very safe way to help so many different conditions.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to put the business spin on it, but at an over the counter price, and it can replace so many not so nice drugs as well. Like that's the exciting part as well. You know, the pain medication, the opioids, the you know, the anti-anxiety stuff that people get hooked on, like this has real applications in a safe way. You can't overdose, you know, those types of things. It's it still needs to be studied. And you know, you want to be sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And I guess what I mentioned it initially, like it's not a magic thing. You need to, if you're taking something to help make you feel better, you need to also address the problem, you know, the source, make sure you're also eating properly and getting outside for your mental health. Like,
I'm fat and I feel horrible. I want to take a pill and just feel better, you know?
That's
not how it works, so unfortunately.
It's part of a system, and I think it actually is a critical part. Don't forget the system though.
Yeah. So where do we keep up with you? How do we keep up with Ascension Sciences and see what's coming and what you're working on?
One of the things I want to direct people to is our social media channels, our LinkedIn, our at Ascension Sci. Correct, Melody, as long as I got that right. At Ascension Sci. And we're quite active on LinkedIn. You know, we're posting other people's research as well as our own. So it's a place to just keep in tune.
Yeah, is it a 6-person team? Is that right?
Depending on what day you ask me, but it's some key advisors, some hardworking folks that have put the time in from internships and kind of stayed on with us, and some postdocs
It's so cool. And I don't think there is another, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think there is another drug frontier out there where you have very small groups, like punk rock, you know, groups of, you know, R&D people that are like, yeah, we can work. You know how to do that? Good. I know how to do this. Let's team up. We'll work on it. I know a guy that can do this, you know, and we'll contact. It's just like back in the day where my dumb band was putting out 7 inches and we had a friend that printed t-shirts and we had another friend that had a van. So we made him the bass player so he could drive, you know, stuff like that.
That's hilarious.
I think it's awesome. Thanks so much for your time. I'm going to let you guys get out of here because it's getting late.
Cheers.
As always, you'll be able to find all the links that Thomas mentioned in the show notes, along with some other cool notes. And here at the Ministry of Hemp, we believe that a more accessible world is better for everyone. So you can also find a full written transcript there as well. Thank you for joining me for another episode. And if you're digging these episodes and you like the information here, it really does help if you give us a thumbs up or even a short written review wherever you download your podcasts. It just lifts us in the search algorithms and helps other people find this info. And speaking of this info, you can find more hemp education info over at ministryofhemp.com. The holidays can be a stressful time of year, especially this year where COVID has made them very different. And a major part of managing your anxiety is getting your sleep. We just happen to have a best CBD for sleep article up at ministryofhemp.com right now. It's all about CBD and CBN products that will help you get to sleep and stay asleep without feeling hungover in the morning. Very cool stuff. You can also follow us on all our social media. We're at Ministry of Hemp or / Ministry of Hemp, and we're always kicking out great information on all things hemp. And if you want to help us continue to get that information out, head over to Patreon / Ministry of Hemp and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. Any amount you give makes you an insider and gets you early access to articles, podcast extras, and all kinds of other stuff. Not to mention the fact it helps us so much. And a huge thanks goes out to everyone that already has signed up for our Patreon. This is probably going to be the last episode for the year, and I want to thank everybody that stayed with me this year or came on and found us this year. We don't have a show without you guys, and your input has been fantastic just on my guide learning about this amazing plant and what it can do for the world. Thank you so much. 2020 was not the best of years. I totally agree, but we stuck with it. We did it. We maintained. We took care of ourselves, and 2021 is already looking brighter for everyone, and I'll be right here with the rest of the Ministry of Hemp gang to keep bringing you this news in the new year. So, thank you, and I hope you plan to stick around for more. I like to end the show the same way every time, and this is the last time I'll be doing it in 2020. But remember to take care of yourself, remember to take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? Have a safe and happy holiday, and of course, a happy new year. I'll see you in 2021. This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.